Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati now joined by Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Hello, Jeff. How are you?
Good. How are you guys? All kinds of stuff off the field happening today, I see.
Are you following the social media posts of Antonio Brown right now?
I am not. I just read the story when I was walking in here about the injury, so... Or proclaimed injury, so I don't know. Fill me in on the rest of it.
He's posting some text messages that occur between him and Bruce Arians. Mm-hmm. So
he's also having to delete some of the texts because he's posting his own bank account information on Twitter on accident. So
well, the beat goes on. Gift that keeps on giving over there, right? I didn't think this was going to be a one and done story.
Bruce Arians texted him Thursday, December 30th at 5:14 p.m. This is B.A. Make sure you're ready to go tomorrow. We are not resting for the playoffs. And then the next day, call me. And then Antonio Brown texted him a picture of, it was like a physical therapist working on his foot. And says, I'm all in, coach. Really can't get to full speed. I want to win, want to be there. If I wake up tomorrow, feel better, I'll be ready. Kind of rolled it outside on two-point play. I want what's best for team. Let me know when you're free. I'll call you. And then Bruce Arians said, come see me in the morning. We'll talk it out. Definitely want you with us in case you're ready. So I don't
know. Wouldn't the bank information get into this?
That's Nate will tell you that.
There was he tweeted a text message exchange between him and I guess the Tom Brady's trainer.
Hashtag barbarian is
what he says that the trainer charged him $100,000 for work he never really did on AB. But in that tweet he like screen grabbed the invoice, which had his like banking account and routing number on it, so he had to go back and delete that. I'm sure that won't cause him any problems.
Yeah, and he's still not a buck, right? That's still the...
Yeah, he's still on the roster.
Yeah.
So, Josina Anderson, would you say that she has good information?
I was sitting next to her in Dallas on Sunday when this whole thing broke, and she was interacting with him or somebody close to him.
Okay,
so, yeah.
So she tweeted yesterday, if Antonio Brown wants a job on another team in the NFL, he can have one. That is not an opinion. That is what I know.
I wouldn't go that far.
That's why I'm asking you. I'm like, really?
I wouldn't go that far, yeah.
She says it's not an opinion. That's what she knows.
A lot to unpack here. One, I don't know how you do what he did on Sunday and then roll into somebody else's roster.
Right.
Before the playoffs start. So that's presuming that a playoff team would want him, right? Just he can go play for Jacksonville anytime he wants to. I'm sure that job's available.
Or Mike Tannenbaum on ESPN Radio saying that the Chiefs should be interested in him.
Who would want that?
A GM that doesn't have a job?
Yeah, exactly. Ryan Pace. You ain't about to get fired. Sign up for that. What? And two, apparently he's injured. So
yeah, he's got to have surgery, right?
Yeah. And so look, I've kind of.
Do we believe that? I mean, like, do we believe anything he
says? Yeah. You know, I know this earlier in the week, this was spun into a mental health issue, and there may be some stuff. I'm not a doctor, so I don't know. I think that's very convenient to go that route. I look at guys in the NFL who've had mental health issues this year, like Lane Johnson and Philadelphia. Calvin Ridley disappeared from the Falcons for 2 months, like, just took a leave of absence and went away to deal with his own stuff. So if he's got mental health issues, go deal with him.
AJ Brown too.
Yeah. So it's like I look at this more as what happened on the field is an extension of who he is, how he's operated for the last 3 or 4 years. They were lucky to get what they got out of him last year. It felt as if this was a lingering thing. Now that you hear more context to it, it makes more sense because that kind of reaction spoke to something that was like a fight you have with your wife that's been brewing for 2 months. Right, it's not just like you had an argument that day and it just blew up. It's this stuff has been lingering for a long period of time.
Oh, she just brought that up.
That's right. You went there.
She's still mad about that. Oh,
so when I looked at it, two things stood out for me. One was obviously the way he left the field, but two, that nobody went after him. Now, Mike Evans was the only guy on the team who was really trying to talk him down off the ledge and get him to think rationally about this. And everybody else had a chance.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah. Peace. Take off. And so he walked past a lot of people. And you could see from the end zone camera, a lot of people just watched him go. So nobody was feeling upset about this, including Tom Brady, who got him there in the first place. And so I kind of took a little bit of an issue with and I've known Tom for a long time. I know he cares about the guy, but to turn this into a, hey, he needs help, he needs support issue, like, then don't bring him on the team. Like, don't try to use him for his skills and then act like, well, he's got all these problems we got to deal with. He's at a place where he doesn't deserve that kind of leash anymore, and I give the Bucs credit for deciding this is it. It's time to move on.
So the other controversy that is being discussed is MVP voting. Mm-hmm. And Hub Arkish. Do you know Hub Arkish?
I know the name.
On a radio show in Chicago saying that he wouldn't vote. Aaron Rodgers wouldn't get his vote because he's a jerk. And what he did in the offseason, the Green Bay Packers, and anyone that does that to his team and wasn't available for the Chiefs game, you know, because he wasn't vaccinated, and just all these things having nothing to do with his actual performance. He's giving reasons why he wouldn't vote for him for the MVP. Aaron Rodgers calls him a bum reporter. Do you have a vote?
I do not.
If you had a vote, who would it be?
Aaron Rodgers.
If you had a vote, should people that have a vote for the MVP consider anything besides on-field performance?
No. I've always said this, and this applies to, I know in baseball it's a bigger issue with the steroids generation. If somebody produces on the field, I don't know how you can really bring your stuff off the field to determine whether they're worthy of an award. Because at the end of the day, all you can really go off is what they've done and what they've shown you. And you can make a case that, you know, we were talking about this before we got on the show about Tom Brady, what he's done, his stats, and you make a case for Jonathan Taylor and other people. But end of the day, Aaron Rodgers got 35 touchdown passes and 4 interceptions. He's got 18 touchdown passes and 0 interceptions in his last 6 games. His team is the top seed in the NFC, despite not having All-Pro left tackle, All-Pro cornerback, All-Pro pass rusher. He's playing, from people I've talked to in the league, he's playing at or near the same level he was at when he was 10 years younger. And so everything he's done this year, and he's missed a game. Missed a game against the Chiefs. So, I mean, I think if he had played against the Chiefs, he'd probably be up around 40 touchdown passes by now.
But isn't that part of the argument? I mean, like, so we're saying off-the-field stuff. I understand, like, if Aaron Rodgers... I mean, I'm not defending Hub Arkish here, but if the argument is all that stuff that happened in the offseason, that was directly related to football. It wasn't like that was just him being a jerk to somebody at a grocery store or something. That was holding his team hostage, you know, threatening to leave, demanding a trade, all that stuff. That's directly related to the team. And then you say, well, if he would have played, well, he didn't play because of a choice he made that is directly, we've all talked about it. If you've decided not to get vaccinated, that is something that puts your team at risk, right? And so that is on the field, isn't it? That's not off the field.
It affects what happens on the field, but when he was on the field, he played at a high level.
But why wasn't he on the field?
Because he did something stupid. But if we're going to start talking about guys doing something stupid and getting punished for that in this league, trust me, a lot of guys aren't going to be making All-Pro teams or Pro Bowl teams or Hall of Fame selection. All these guys. I mean, I just feel like it's... I'm not going to get in this role of playing. I got the moral high ground on these people. I know who these guys are.
The principal police.
Yeah, the principal police.
Yeah, but I guess my point is this is this was pragmatism, not principle. Because like I was pointing out to you that, well, gosh, I mean, Tom Brady's thrown for 1,600 more yards than him or whatever, and 8 more touchdowns, 5 more touchdowns. And you said, well, he's played one more game, but doesn't that factors in, doesn't it? Like.
I would say this. How many games...
I'm not talking about whether you think the vaccine is right or wrong. I'm just saying like that's...
Well, that's kind of what you're talking about, though.
But I'm talking about whether or not it gets you on the field. Like, you made a decision that took you off the field for a game.
Okay,
That's not a moral judgment. That's a football judgment.
Okay, so say if it was an injury and he missed that game. Like, has he still done enough to offset that?
I don't know. I mean, that's a different debate.
Well, I think we do know. His stats were there. I mean, yeah. It's like in the day, you're talking about the compilation of his entire season.
Let's ask it this way. Then which guys had the better supporting cast this year?
Tom Brady.
Tom Brady's had a better supporting cast than Aaron Rodgers?
Who else is Aaron Rodgers throwing the football to aside from Aaron Davante Adams and Aaron Jones and handing off A.J. Dillon?
That's a part of his supporting cast. So, like, their running game this year has been incredible, right?
Okay, so you want me to list all the guys that Tom Brady has or used to?
Who does he used to have?
Okay, that's into like the last couple weeks.
Okay.
He's had Mike Evans, he's had Chris Godwin, he's had Antonio Brown, he's healthy, he's had Rob Gronkowski, he's had Cameron Brate, he's had O.J. Howard.
But he's like lost almost all those guys, right?
In the last couple weeks.
Okay.
But who helped him put those stats up is the point.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. But I just think like, I guess.
So you don't like Aaron Rodgers for this award?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I haven't really. I mean, maybe. But I just think that, like, acting like these arguments against Aaron Rodgers are completely non-football related, that's not really true. These are absolutely football related. I mean, they're not.
Well, the argument the reporter was making, which is how we got in this, was that he didn't care about the football stuff. He cared about him being a bad guy.
That's
which is a very popular thing to say in Chicago.
Right, right.
I mean, he's playing to his audience, and that's a ridiculous point to make.
I think
your point, Nate, is somewhat that's an all right argument to have, but that's not what Stephen just read.
Man, I think the guy even acknowledged that if you're just going off stats, then I guess yeah, he would win. Or if you want to vote him, he'll probably win it because of what he's done. I think he even said that in the context of the.
He's not come out and said that he was wrong.
Well, now he's been put on blast. I just want this to go away.
He apologizes. For the childish things he said about
Aaron Rodgers. Because he's about to lose his MVP vote.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. Like, why make yourself the story? I don't even understand how he got into this situation in the first place, unless he was on the radio and
he
just
was on
going
as a guest and they were asking him about it, you know?
Yeah, wrapped up in
then,
that.
And then old Clay Travis got a hold of it, you know? And now his narrative is that everybody in the media is a left-wing corona bro that's going to vote against Aaron Rodgers because they don't like his vaccine stance. So that everybody gets to have their little fight. And, you know, everybody in the media is this and everybody in the media is that, you know. Because one guy in Chicago on talk radio
woke
said
up
this.
And realized it was 2021 and he said something crazy was going to go all over the world. What?
I thought that was pretty stupid for him to say all those things.
Yeah. Yeah, now I could see if you're saying, you know what, I asked him questions about the, you know, the way he handled the vaccination stuff and the way he went so extreme. He made it so personal, right? When you start talking about somebody who's the biggest jerk in the league, and you don't really know somebody to the point where you can make that comment.
I mean, look, I think Aaron Rodgers is an a-hole, and I will root for him to lose whenever I watch him now, but I think he's the MVP. I can separate the two. I think Pete Rose should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't need reporters and members of the media to take the moral high ground and make judgments on who deserves what, because I think everyone that does that is living in a glass house. And so let's all dig into your life and see if you deserve to be an MVP voter. Is anyone questioning that?
Yeah.
No.
I'm with you.
And so just keep it to what's on the field.
That's
what I think.
I fully agree with that, for the record. My only point is just like if you're talking about all the stuff he did in the offseason.
The stuff in the offseason I think is irrelevant.
Yeah. They've gone out and won games anyways.
Who cares what he did in the offseason? Yeah, so now when a guy has a contract hold out, he should be eliminated from MVP discussion?
No.
But I do think there's a line there that you have to talk about because when it comes to vaccination status, not whether you think. Don't politicize it, because we said at the beginning, if your quarterback is fully vaccinated, it can and probably will be a competitive advantage at some point in the season. And it was for some teams. It did work out that way. And so I don't think it's unfair to at least, not because you think he should be vaccinated, you think he shouldn't be vaccinated. He did do something that affected the football team, and he missed a game that they lost. Now, it didn't affect them. But what if that one loss kept them getting number one seed?
Well, I think that's fair.
That's more fair than talking. Who cares what he did in the offseason?
The only way to see, like, the offseason stuff, the only way that would matter is if it somehow, like, destroyed the team's chances this year because he held them hostage all offseason, but they're number one
seed. Yeah, but who's to
say that?
That clearly didn't affect it anyway.
I would argue that him not playing that game gives him more stock as the MVP because you saw what that team looked like when he wasn't playing.
Fine. I'll hear it, too.
that's fair.
Absolutely.
That's really fair. And I think that helps his cause as well. And like, I agree with that. I think in baseball, and I don't want to get too off topic here,
I think the whole thing
with the Barry Bonds and the guys in the air, because there's so many people who were reporting on that stuff could have actually been more diligent in how they reported on it. So many people went along for the ride with it. And so to come back and be like, these guys are bad guys, or I'm always hesitant to talk about that, bad guys, good guys, all this kind of stuff we throw around in the media because we just don't know these dudes.
Right, right. And a lot of times, media members' definition of a bad guy is which guy's nice to them.
Yeah.
You know, like Eddie Murray was always known as this surly guy. He didn't like the media. He wasn't nice to them. So they said he was a jerk.
Yeah.
But every teammate he had said he was a great guy, you know, and they all loved him. So, like, yeah, that idea of what a good guy is and a bad guy is.
Who cares what you think of a guy?
Right.
And his personality.
How arrogant are you as a voter if that's, you know, you get to be the arbiter of all that.
I've met just as many people that cover baseball that are a-holes that play baseball that are a-holes.
Right?
Right. Okay.
Right, right.
Jeff Chedea, you're not an a-hole.
I'm not.
But I had people tweeting me, asking me if you were celebrating when the Chiefs lost to the Bengals in the second half.
No.
At all.
No.
I'm just reading these damn tweets. He's coming after you. All right?
Why would I be celebrating?
I don't. You know? Would you play anything?
Hey,
for the record,
hey.
Got my little notebook here.
I think we had a good conversation about this last week.
Think,
right? I did make a point that was proven true.
Jeff Chedea had the Chiefs over the Bengals 30-24 last
week. So celebrating because your pick was right, but you didn't pick?
I picked the wrong team.
See,
I think the Chiefs fans ought to hope you go back to picking against the Chiefs.
I want to talk about...
Yeah, go back to picking the Steelers. Kelsey and Hill are out.
That's right.
I want to go back to talk... Well, first of all, are you... Can I take your temperature on Jim Harbaugh real quick?
Sure.
Because there's a lot... There's what?
There's
rumors out there that maybe he's looking to jump back to the NFL.
I think those rumors are coming from Jim Harbaugh's people.
do you think he's trying to get more money? Do you think he can end up with the Bears?
I think he wants his money back. He took a pay cut, lost half his money. I tell you what, as soon as he saw what Michigan State was paying his coach, what Penn State was paying his coach, what Lincoln Riley got to go to USC, and what Brian Kelly got to go to LSU, and he's sitting there thinking, I'm getting half my pay after the year I just had, I guarantee you. He is out there trying to...
Do you think he's going to go back to the NFL?
I think he'll be at Michigan next year with more money in his pocket. I think this is all about trying
You don't think he wants to go back and coach in the NFL?
Not now. I mean, at this point, he's done everything he wanted to do at Michigan. Now he can just coast.
Isn't that what he does? Gets where he wants to go with the team and then bolt?
Well, it's a little different when it's your alma mater and your heart's there.
You know...
It's hard to leave that.
We were talking about... Because obviously with the passing of John Madden, it forced a lot of people to go back and actually look at what he was as a coach. And his record was just it's unbelievable, mind-boggling, right? What was it, Jake? He has the best winning percentage of any coach?
Over
a minimum of 100?
100 games.
What was his winning percentage? Look that up real quick.
20, wasn't it?
It's like 70, yeah, it's in the 70s. I'll find it for you.
And he only coached 4 seasons. Do you know what Harbaugh's winning percentage was as an NFL coach?
I think it was like 68%, wasn't it?
69.
Madden was...
Yeah. Which makes him great. You know?
Madden was 76%.
But, I mean, Harbaugh was with the 49ers for 4 years. 13-3, 11-4-1, 12-4, 8-8. But still,
that team had 8 losing seasons in a row before he showed up.
And when his first 3 years there, lost in the NFC Championship game, lost in the Super Bowl, lost in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And so just my point is, if I'm the Bears, if I'm one of these coaches, and you're talking about money, or I'm one of these teams and I'm looking for a coach, wouldn't you do everything you could to lure him? And, I mean, he wants money. He wants to get that money back. Here it is. That's...
Oh, there'll be calls made. I'm not saying he's going to, like, not pick up the phone.
And you're looking for a guy. You got your young quarterback already. I mean, wouldn't that be a grand slam home run if you hired Jim Harbaugh?
After you hired Urban Meyer, or after you hired Matt Rhule or Joe Judge or all these other guys who have just been...
Because Harbaugh's done it at the NFL.
Yeah, at a high level.
He did that, and then he went to Michigan and took them, and people are trying to crush him now, but took them to the college football playoffs, which is a tremendous accomplishment. And what he did there...
I think he's had like 5-10 win seasons.
And see, that's why I was at
seven.
That's why I was asking
college,
you.
College looks different today than when he walked
right.
in.
Yeah, Gary Barnett said he was like, I wouldn't want to deal with all the headaches of being a college coach now with mm-hmm. the NILs and transfer portals yeah. and all this.
But he's not going anywhere.
So, no. Are you He'll saying that with your heart or your head, Jeff? Come
I'm
on,
saying
please.
That with my head, knowing that he put that stuff out there in the first place right. about it's real. I want to look around and see what's out there. I don't think that.
You don't want him to go, right? I mean, you want him to stay in Michigan.
I think that, you know, look, yeah, I mean, do I think he's done a good job and he'd be better off staying? Yeah, I think so. But do I also think that the way that the NFL works and the way college football is right now in terms of the money flying around, that he wants to get a cut of that? I definitely think that's part of it, too.
Can you believe he was almost a coach of Kansas? And they screwed that up. That's yeah. I mean, that
no,
is.
Hey, yeah. did you know that Jamar Chase was also once verbally committed to yeah. Kansas?
Was he?
Yep.
Verbally, like in what way? Did he know what Kansas was?
You realize?
Yeah, he knew.
KU hired a high school coach from New Orleans that you know had all these contacts.
Oh, is that right?
And I think it was one of those deals. Like,
that
hey,
brought a kick to
why don't you verbally commit to Kansas so I can get a big pay raise
in
here and then go wherever you want to go?
Okay.
How long was he committed for? I don't know. Honestly.
But,
right up to the point, looked at the map.
Yeah. Wow.
Commit.
That's your deal, ladies and gentlemen.
Had him, though, man. We had him. He was committed. I mean, that word, right. commitment, really means something.
So let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about what's going on in the NFL. Right. Jeff Chedia is in studio. Back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen St. John and Nate Buchady with Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. What's your philosophy on letting a team score at the end of a game to try to get the football back? I know it all depends on the team and who you're facing, but let's
talk
say
specifically about one game.
How about Chiefs Bengals?
Okay. Hmm? Look, I mean, I'm going to guess this has been discussed ad nauseum.
Yes.
Over the last 3 or 4 days. Here's how I look at what happened. I think in the first two plays of that sequence, once the Bengals hit the ball first down after Mixon got the first down, I think the Bengals were trying to not score.
Right.
Burn timeouts. And then the Chiefs were caught in this weird place of like, how do we play this now? It got the third down. And I really believe if you pressed Andy Reid about this and Spagnuolo, they would say, look, we believe in our defense. It's been playing well for the last 8 weeks. They've gotten some stops, had some big stops in the Chargers game. Let's play it out and see what happens. And so I think third down was the key down no one really talks about in that sequence, because that was the moment when if you're going to let them score, you let them score there. Joe Mixon's running the football. You know, you can push him into the end zone. You can do all that stuff. I think that the first two sneaks were just soft sneaks. Joe Burrow just laid down.
Right.
And so at that point, and you get the fourth down, and it's just like, okay, now we got to play to win it.
And I thought the Bengals got caught in between, too, and they almost screwed that up. Had they not been flagged at the end, they kind of botched that because they were kind of half-assed trying to score.
It was a weird dance going on there, but I think ultimately, I look at it more like, what did the Bengals want ideally? What did the Chiefs want ideally? The Bengals wanted the Chiefs to burn timeouts. They wanted to be able to score with as little time as left on the clock as possible from Mahomes. I'm not sure what the Chiefs wanted. And I'm not sure they really knew how they wanted to go about getting it. That was the discussion that had to be had in a situation that people tend to overlook or diminish, because once you're in third down, you're either saying, let's get the ball back, let's let them have it, whatever. And then you get to fourth down, and then you're just, you know, it's all bets are off. Personally, about people have complained about the officiating. The calls that happened in that sequence were legit calls.
Right.
That I watched
except for the refusal to call false starts. But.
Yeah, but even then, do you think they weren't keeping out of the end zone at that point? 5 yard difference. I don't think it makes a difference. I think their offense was so powerful that day they were going to score one way or another. Or kick a field goal.
Let's hear what Spags said. Now, Andy Reid was asked about this after the game and then again in, during the week, and he would not answer, was not interested in giving any information about this. And so Adam Teichman followed up with Spagnuolo yesterday about whether or not the Chiefs were considering letting the Bengals score at the end of the game.
Well, listen, I know Andy has addressed this already. I really just kind of want to stand on his comments. I mean, I just know from my standpoint defensively, you know, we're trying not to let somebody score. I mean, that's what we're focused on. But I think Andy's addressed it, and I'm going to kind of let, you know, rest on his comments that he made on it.
All right, then in a general term, is there a time and a place, time in the week or time in the off season where you take a look and say, okay, you have the video crew cut up and here's a million game situations. Let's talk through this, guys, and how we do it. Is that a weekly occurrence? Is that a bi-week occurrence? Is that a preseason occurrence? How does that work?
Oh, no, I mean, it's definitely done in the off season. And I think I would tell you this, it's ongoing always. I don't know. I mean, we have a list of all the situations that we've been in before. I get a chance every once in a while to take a peek at it, or, you know, Mike Frazier, you guys know, is here, and he does a great job with the situation. He'll come up with something that's happened in a game, let's say one of the games that was played this Sunday, and he might walk in and say, this happened, here's the thinking. We go through it a little bit. So it's ongoing. That wasn't a unique situation. It just worked out the way it did.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Andy, if you listen to his comments after the game, He thinks they stopped him, and yeah, they were just unlucky with the officials.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it. I mean, I feel like it's akin to in basketball when the clock's running out, a team's up, and you're trying to foul them. Like you're in a bad spot, but the other team's really dictating how the game's going to go. You have to do something to stop the clock. My guess is, and I kind of misspoke there. I'm sure the Chiefs, what they wanted, they knew there was a certain amount of time they could have if they had to go get a field goal. They had to go get a touchdown. I'm sure that's what they were trying to gauge based on what the Bengals were doing. I think the Bengals were kind of doing, I think Zach Taylor was kind of doing a Forrest Gump type thing, like not kind of stumbling into some good fortune there. I don't know if you really are counting on the ball being placed at the, whatever, the half-yard line with four downs to go. It's if you're in a situation where you have just over 2 minutes, two timeouts to burn, and then you're going to get these flags. All these things that happened over the course of that sequence had nothing to do with game management. It was just, you know, the Chiefs are trying to figure out on the fly. The Bengals are trying to do whatever they can to end the game. And you had a couple penalties thrown in there.
So now the Chiefs no longer have the number one seed. They're playing to hold on to the two seed on Saturday against the Denver Broncos. We anticipate they'll win that football game. Tennessee has the number one seed, and now they're getting Derrick Henry back. Yeah. With Derrick Henry, is Tennessee the best team in the AFC?
I don't know. It depends on what you see. If you get the Derrick Henry you got back and before he got hurt, you can make a case for that. I would still say the Chiefs are probably the most dangerous team. But Tennessee, in a weird way, is lucked into a pretty nice situation here because Deontay Foreman has been a pretty good back for them over
really
the last good 5 weeks. And he's a power back. He's given them a running game. A.J. Brown has gotten healthy. Julio Jones is doing whatever Julio Jones. I don't have a lot of, you know, belief in him being a difference maker, but he's out there and he's still Julio Jones, so you have to account for that. And so they've gone through a lot, and to get back to being the top seed, two games at home with that offense, if it's playing at the level it was playing at, they're going to be pretty scary. The thing about the Chiefs that would concern me, if I was a Chiefs fan, is that against the playoff teams that could be in the playoffs, who would be in the playoffs right now, they're 1-4. And that one game was a game they probably shouldn't have won in anyway, the Chargers game, the second Chargers game. And so I think Nate and I talked about this last week. This game against the Bengals was interesting to me because it was going to be the first game they were going to see against a really good offense in this 8-game run against an offense that was at full capacity, fully healthy, good quarterback, good receivers, and their defense was fully healthy. No questions about Chris Jones or Charvarius Ward or someone being out, Willie Gay not playing. All these guys are going to be on the field mano a mano, and to give up the kind of numbers they gave up in that kind of game, that should be concerning. because Buffalo's done that, Tennessee's done that, Chargers have done that, and very good chance they're going to see at least two of those teams, maybe all three of those teams in the playoffs.
When you say they shouldn't have won that game against the Chargers, why do you say that? I can see the Twitter mentions right now. Why shouldn't they have won that game?
Chargers dropped two touchdown passes. They blew it on fourth down, three times? They could have kicked a field goal at any point in those situations and gotten enough points to win in regulation. You think they controlled the action in that game?
No. I mean,
doesn't take away the win. I'm just saying the way I watched that game.
But maybe
Chargers were the better team that day.
You can make the point that the Chiefs should have won the first game.
Well, maybe the Chiefs shouldn't have lost the Bengals game.
You can make that point, too.
Right. I mean, I guess that's where I come down is like you should have, could have, would have type stuff.
Okay, but
in
the day, we're still talking about four losses in five games.
Right. Yeah.
Here's how I think it's going to play out, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. I think the Chargers beat the Raiders on Sunday night and get into the playoffs.
I agree with that.
Although the Raiders have proved me wrong over and over again because I did not anticipate that they would be in the situation to make the playoffs.
Have you seen how many points they've scored in the last five games they've played?
Raiders?
They've scored 80 points total in the last five games. It's astounding how they're winning games.
Right.
They've got 23 against the Colts.
So, I mean, do you think – what kind of shot do you give against the Chargers for the Raiders?
It's 50-50. It's because of the AFC West. But I like Chargers.
It's in Vegas, but doesn't – I mean
– like, Chargers are the better team.
Yeah, they should be, yeah. But they, I'm surprised that the Raiders have a chance to play their way into the playoffs, and I'm surprised the Chargers – have to win this game to get in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I think it's the Raiders should be applauded for getting to this point, and the Chargers, I think, is disappointing that they're at this point because I think they're better than this. But I don't, maybe, but this every year it seems like that's the Chargers. They should be better than what their record is. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why I think the Chargers will win because this is their last chance of redemption. I think if you lose this kind of a game, then you really are. If you're Brandon Staley, you got to be worried about your job in year two.
I think that the Chargers play at the Chiefs in the first round. The Chiefs beat them. Then it's Colts at Bills. The Bills win that. Patriots at Bengals. Bengals win that.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So you're talking about Chargers, Bills, Bengals.
So yeah, I think the final four would be Titans, Chiefs, Bills, and you know, because the Titans have their bye. So.
So the Titans would play the Bengals if all. I guess it's too hard to get into all the scenarios. There's a very good chance that the Chiefs could see Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, or Ryan Tannehill.
Well, they're going to see nothing but good quarterbacks that they've had problems with.
I mean, am I making a point here that you think is questionable here?
No, that's concerning that the elite quarterbacks that they faced in the AFC they haven't had success against.
I think the numbers, I looked it up, it was against those four quarterbacks, Tannehill, Burrow, Allen, and Herbert, they've thrown 14 touchdown passes and two interceptions against the Chiefs.
So it's Bills, Colts, Bengals, Bills, Patriots, the 4-5, and so, I mean, the Patriots, do you think they're...
I think
a threat to do damage in the playoffs?
I think the Bills beat the Patriots. After watching what happened the last time they played in Foxborough, I think the Bills are a better team. And I feel like their quarterback is playing. He didn't have a great game last week, but I think he's very capable of getting on one of those roles like Joe Flacco or Eli Manning got on when they got on their runs and won championships. He's a scary player.
So if the Bengals are the 3 and they win, then they would play the Chiefs.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And the Bills would play the Titans. And I think the Chiefs beat the Bengals at Arrowhead. And I think the Bills go to Tennessee and win. And I think we're right back to where we were last year, Bills at Chiefs.
Yeah. I agree with that. I think it's going to be the AFC Championship game.
What do you guys think?
I think the Bills are... Yeah, I definitely think they're better than the Patriots.
You know? Yeah. But that's a heck of a gauntlet to go through.
The whole AFC is a gauntlet, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, it's hard to find much separation in the whole playoff picture in the AFC.
Well, and what you have is there ain't one team in there. The Chiefs the last 3 years have had the ability to intimidate people. It's the Mike Tyson effect, right? If they come into the ring, you might get knocked out in the first round, and it might be you might be not able to fight again the rest of your career. All these teams, I don't think, are coming wherever they have to play the Chiefs, are going to be afraid. If anything, the Bengals show that to me more than anything, that they aren't afraid of anybody. The way they played that game, you're down 14 to a team that's been in the Super Bowl the last couple of years, and you come back like that, you've got some.
I think the fact that they kept going for it on fourth down shows that they were afraid of Patrick Mahomes.
What do you mean going for it on fourth down?
At the end of the game, instead of kicking that field goal, they were doing everything they possibly could to keep him from getting back on the field. They didn't care how much time they had left.
That's also just managing the game at that point.
But that, to me, they don't do that if they're not scared of Patrick Mahomes. Absolutely are scared of him. And I think it does change when you get to the playoffs, too, because none of those teams have done anything in the playoffs.
All those teams have beaten the Chiefs.
In the regular season, but those teams have beaten the Chiefs in the regular season in the past and then got their ass kicked.
Okay, all right, let's settle this right now then. So you're saying all those losses mean nothing?
No, I'm not saying they mean nothing.
Okay, what do
they
mean?
But I'm saying they don't mean everything.
What do they mean then?
They mean that those teams are good enough to beat the Chiefs.
Okay,
for sure.
That's all I'm saying.
For sure. I'm just saying I do think there is a psychological component to getting to the playoffs. Things change in the playoffs a little bit. And Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and the Chiefs have proven time and time again they can win in the playoffs. We've seen it on the other side, where the Chiefs have had really good teams that have beaten the Broncos in a regular season. And they get to the playoffs, and their sphincter tightens up, and they lose. You know, and so I'm just saying.
I think Bills have gotten their feet wet. I think you can't put them in the same group as the Bengals and the Chargers, because the Bills got to the AFC Championship game. They've been there.
Yep.
You remember that shot of Stephon Diggs standing there watching the whole celebration. Yep. So they've at least gone through. There is something to be said, like for the Chiefs. They went through that devastating loss to the New England Patriots that hardened them. You don't need to mark everything I say, Jake, but that's fine. It hardened them, and that sometimes you have to go through the fire like that.
That's true. You need that. True. You can't underestimate that motivation.
That and so you can make that case for Buffalo. We'll take a break back after this on WHB. So you've got the Chargers over the Raiders on Sunday night?
Yes.
So that will put the Chargers in the playoffs.
I guess I just saw him get up. They said if the Jaguars beat the Colts and the Chargers and Raiders tie, they both get in.
What'd you just say?
I said, trust me, I laugh at it too, but it's some crazy stat about the Colts playing in Jacksonville. Yeah. They've only won twice in the last 8 years.
Be playing on Sunday.
Yeah.
Dude, if there was ever a time that the NFL wants one team to win really, really, really badly, they want the Colts to win that game really badly. They don't want Sunday Night Football where there's two teams that have the incentive to tie. They don't want that.
Yeah.
They don't want that.
But there would be chaos. I want the Jags to win.
I'm rooting for it.
Big time.
It would be the biggest upset in the history of the NFL if they won that game.
But can you imagine if it's close at halftime? Don't you think everything would tighten up for the Colts quite a bit?
I think you'd see Wentz on the sideline with an injury.
I want the best possible postseason bracket, which is what we have right now.
Right.
Which we won't, you know.
So in the NFC, there is some intrigue here. And so this is what we're watching in the NFC. The Saints have to win at the Falcons. You think that's going to happen?
Yeah, they'll win.
Okay, so if the Saints beat the Falcons, then they need the Rams to beat the 49ers. The Rams are at home against the 49ers. They play at the same time. And the reason the Rams need to win is because if they were to lose and the Cardinals beat the Seahawks, and the Cardinals win the division.
Yeah.
And so the Rams are playing for the division. And so how do you think that is going to work itself out? What do you think happens? And the 49ers got to win. So the 49ers or Rams should be very compelling. What do you think happens there?
Aren't the 49ers in? I thought they were in.
I think if they lose...
Are they? Oh, that's right, because the Saints can replace them.
Right. If they lose and the Saints win.
The Eagles are in. The Eagles are in. The Eagles are in.
The Eagles, yes, they are in.
So it's a matter of whether the 49ers. So if the 49ers lose and the Saints win, the Saints can get in.
Huh. Those are the only two.
Well, then I guess the Falcons are going to win that game, because I don't want to see the Saints in the playoffs.
You don't want the Saints?
Yeah.
No.
Now, I think the Rams have a hard time with the Niners.
Right.
Because the Niners really beat them up. Really physical. I would suspect that we're going to end up with Cardinals, Rams, 49ers in the playoffs. I don't want to see the Saints with the lousy quarterback situation. I don't see Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian, whoever else they trot out there to play quarterback in the playoffs. It just would not be fun.
You didn't think much of the Eagles. I don't think many people did.
I was alone on that.
But in Nick Sirianni, I think we all kind of like, really? That's the hire? What does that say about Nick Sirianni and the Eagles that they are in the playoffs?
Well, they were very adaptable. It's just they started running the ball like crazy. So they've had the best rushing attack in football right now. But they've been running the ball like they've been averaging almost 200 yards a game rushing since midseason. They had just desperation makes people do a lot of crazy things.
I was talking to noted Philadelphia Eagles fan in front of the show, JJ Piccolo, about this week, and he's like, "Well, we beat the Jets, the Washington football team twice, and the Giants, and the Broncos down the stretch, and the Saints. Like, we didn't beat anybody any good." Yeah. That's kind of how he felt about it.
Well,
that's
how the win over the Saints
right.
will be the difference between the playoff spot and not.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad division. They made a really smart move to try to change things up. I mean, I give them credit for it. Whoever you beat, end of the day, it's like that team was going nowhere when the Chiefs played them. That team was looking like it was going to be picking in the top five of the NFL draft. And so I give any coach credit for and the way they finished last year, all that dysfunction around that place. I mean, I give him a ton of credit. He should be in the Coach of the Year conversation.
When the Chiefs beat the Broncos on Saturday, do you think that will be the end of Vic Fangio in Denver?
I think it should be.
I don't want it to be.
And I bet you don't.
I think there's still some things he can left for him to do there.
Right. It's a little more Christmas gift giving. A little more meat left in that turkey, huh?
Some,
a little more
being on that bone, huh? Veteran quarterbacks he can go out there and sign.
Make some chicken soup, some turkey
soup
out of it.
Joe Flacco, Teddy Bridgewater, all of them. Bring them.
I don't see how you get a good quarterback to Denver with Vic Fangio as your head coach and Pat Shurmur as your offensive coordinator. That's probably. Pat Shurmur, as the offensive coordinator there, has probably done one of the least creative jobs of running an offense I've ever seen in the NFL. I mean, it was all the things that are out there, and from high school to college football, they do the most unimaginative stuff with that team. But they're hard to watch offensively, which is why I probably won't watch the game on Saturday because it won't be very entertaining.
It's fun to watch. Where do you go this weekend?
I'll be at home. I'll be relaxed. I'm getting my little bye weekend before the playoffs start up.
So now that the Chiefs will be at home in the playoffs, are you likely to be here, or would they send you on the road?
It depends. We'll see.
Chargers-Chiefs would be pretty attractive.
Yeah, that'd be a wild game. I know Nate made the point about postseason experience. I just feel like those two teams locking up again would be really compelling football.
Heck yeah.
You think they'll put that on Monday Night Football for the playoffs? There's a Monday Night spot this year.
Could be, especially a West Coast team.
Two young stud quarterbacks.
Yeah, who else would come close to?
Well, the Cowboys are always the force-fed to
everyone
on national.
Team.
They put them on Sunday when they primetime spot on Sunday.
Monday Night Football.
You like that, huh?
I mean, a short week?
Short week in the playoffs?
I don't know what I like. But I just say, if I'm like, hey, I like the Chiefs in the playoffs. Let's go.
Okay.
For my purposes, let's do it.
So the Chiefs are playing. Well, they got to play everybody, right? In this game, they got to play for the win.
Would you play Orlando Brown?
I'd have to play the offense. We didn't even talk about the offensive line situation with Niang being out. That's a little bit intriguing as well now, right?
Joe Tooney was a stud on Sunday.
They can't afford to lose anybody else to that spot, though, right?
No,
can't afford to lose any more tackles.
Well, no, please no. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com has been our guest. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, guys.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.